beauty and skincare is always a hot topic around here, and today I want to tell you about a new product line I've discovered that I think you will like, Exponent Beauty. Listeners of the show will receive 20% off their purchase. More details on that in a minute. Exponent Beauty is a skincare brand with a line of activated anti-aging serums that are clinically proven to reduce fine lines and wrinkles. The beauty of Exponent Beauty is their innovative form factor. The powders are activated with a quadruple hyaluronic acid serum in their patented precision-dosed dispenser. The packaging is gorgeous, and the dispenser itself is refillable, so it has also reduced plastic waste. Exponent Beauty's line of serums can be found in med spas and spas and dermatologists' office around the country. The line is dermatologist recommended and clinically proven to reduce those fine lines and wrinkles, and to increase brightness and radiance, and to firm skin without irritation. No more expired or underutilized products with Exponent Beauty, just high-quality skincare with ingredients that work. Go to exponentbeauty.com and use code TELL20 for 20% off a purchase of $100 or more. That's Exponent, E-X-P-O-N-E-N-T, Beauty, B-E-A-U-T-Y.com and use code TELL20, T-E-L-L, the numbers 20, for 20% off your purchase of $100 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to the 10 Things to Tell You podcast. I'm Laura Tremaine. I always have at least 10 things to tell you, and you have 10 things to tell. This is a show where we believe that sharing yourself will make you less lonely. So, how to center yourself when you are spun out? Please know that when I do episodes like this, I am doing them as much for me as for you. Episodes in the past, like how to feel pretty when you don't, how to handle overwhelm, those type of episodes always come from me going through something and then wanting to talk about it with you. And if it isn't something that I feel like I handled on my own or, you know, learned something from already, then I'll consult with experts and have them on the show to talk us through these things, like how to handle our grief, reframing anxiety, or how to meditate. All of those episodes, and I'll link all of these episodes as resources, come from something that is going on in my life or the world that I feel like might be something you're going through too, or might hold some tools or little nuggets of wisdom that you might also need. And when I am, you know, outlining these episodes and working on how I'm going to present the information to you, it is always a reminder to myself of how to handle it the next time it happens to me, because we all go through moments of overwhelm. We all go through times when we're spinning out and need to recenter. And one thing that I always want to point out to you here, this is going to come up later in the episode, but I'm going to repeat myself, is that it is best to harness these tools and to think about these things when you are not in the moment of crisis, big C crisis or little C crisis. To have thought through how you are going to handle something, who you are going to reach out to before you're in desperate need, in a place where it's really hard to make those decisions, it's really hard to think clearly, you will have already at least gotten the wheels turning of how to handle the things that life throws at us. There's so much that we can't control. So I really always encourage people to think about these things in the healthiest of times, in the happiest of times, so that it's not a decision-making thing that we have to go through when we can't think clearly. You know, one of the things that I've talked about forever on the show is therapy, how much therapy has helped me. And one of my regrets about therapy is that I didn't start going until I was really in a very bad place. And I wish that I had started going and learning some of these tools for coping, for anxiety, for life, relationships. I wish that I had learned them when I was in a healthier place. And then they would, you know, be with me when I was going through something, instead of starting at the very bottom and trying to claw my way back out, learning to cope while also navigating a tough season of life. It's just, it can be too much for us. And so I do these episodes for both of us, for me and for you. And the theme today is going to be centering ourselves when we're spinning out. And I want to define both spinning out and what I mean by centering ourselves. So when I'm talking about spinning out, I am not talking about depression or anxiety or extreme exhaustion. All of those things can contribute to the fact that we're spinning out, but I'm sort of talking about a surface level spin out about something that has happened. Someone said something to you, you know, some event is going on, you're feeling a temporary stress that has sent you a little bit spiraling. And I, not in like the deepest, darkest part of that word or in that idea, but more like these kind of daily spin outs where it really wrecks your day. It really makes you grumpy. It really makes it hard to focus. You kind of get these looping thoughts where you just can't stop obsessing over this comment you read, this thing someone said to you, this situation that's happening. You really can't seem to pull yourself out of it in the day. You are spinning out and it is affecting your work, your relationships, your mood. That kind of spin out. And then what I mean by centering ourselves is coming back to a place where you remember who you are, where you feel some level of peace or calm, even in the turmoil. Finding your center feels clear-headed. It doesn't feel noisy. It doesn't feel jumbled and cluttered. It feels like a core of your being and of your spirit. It feels like your mind is at rest, or at least thinking logically. It feels like calm water and not choppy, rough waves. And again, remember that I'm talking about temporary spinouts. If you are experiencing something that has gone on more than several days, it feels deep and dark and lonely, and that like it's going to be hard to get you out of that cycle, then, you know, I always advocate for therapy, for medical professionals. There is a different place for that type of spiral. A daily spin out, not that this happens daily, but a more sort of temporary spin out, I suppose, that I have experienced lately has been reading a negative comment or review online on social media that has sort of tapped into my insecurities. Recently, I had someone say something to me kind of offhandedly, and actually not even about me, but about a situation in our school community that spun me all the way out because it made me feel fearful of the future. It made me feel uncertain of my own belonging. And it was really hard for me to not replay that conversation with this person over and over in my head and parse every word and every nuance of her tone. And if she was saying something with hidden motivations, if there was some kind of, you know, big picture knowledge I didn't know, which also made me feel spinny outy. So that's one example. I have had a small spin out when I thought that I had booked part of our travel wrong. Like I thought I had really messed something up on a trip that we were going to take. And, you know, you have that kind of mini panic. You are trying to fix it and call the customer service line and make some adjustments. But really, inwardly, you are stressed that you've really made a big mistake that's going to affect other people. You maybe start to beat yourself up because it's not the first time you've made such a mistake, or you feel like other people are going to judge you or be mad at you. That is for sure a way that I have spun out a little. One time, not too long ago, I was at a sort of social event and I said something to an acquaintance that actually sort of ended up being offensive. I didn't mean to. I sort of misspoke and sort of misunderstood what was happening in the conversation. And they were completely gracious about it and it was fine. But of course, I went home that night and just sort of spun out about it. And when I get to a place where I'm spinning, and I'm trying to just give you different examples of how, you know, these can be deep or shallow, but how it can really like take us off our axis, honestly. And it's not because of the actual event. It's not because of someone's actual social media comment or, you know, some mistake that you might have made when you were booking something online. It's not just about the facts. It's always tapping into something a lot deeper. Like I said, our insecurities or our own fears about ourselves or others or the future. It's tapping into unworthiness sometimes. And when that happens, depending on all kinds of other factors, depending on our mental health, our current sleep schedule, our hormones, our relationships, depending on all of these other factors, it can make something that on any other day might just be, you know, we'd brush it off, we'd get back up, we'd let it roll off our back, you know, all the sayings, all the metaphors. But some days, that's just not what happens. Some days we get on a loop in our head, we call a friend and rehash every moment of the thing that has spun us out. We stay up way too late Googling symptoms and reactions and counter arguments and whatever else. We just stop acting from a place of strength and calm, and we start reacting with paranoia or snarkiness or overanalysis or frantic research. We do all of these things to calm ourselves, but in actuality, we're doing anything but calming ourselves. Late night Googling, hours of conversation, rehashing something, while it does feel good in the moment, it doesn't always lead to a true sense of peace. It doesn't bring us closer to ourselves. It brings us farther away and deeper into the spiral. And if we have the wherewithal to take a moment and take a few steps back and realize, okay, I am spinning out and I don't want to be spinning out. This is unhelpful to me and everyone around me. And so I'm going to take a few actions that really will bring about my best self, that really will bring some clarity to the situation, that hopefully will work out some of my thoughts and what my next steps need to be. And I am going to choose some of these tools, some of these ways of centering myself over the quick fix or lowest grab of numbing myself out, ignoring or overfixating, all of those other things that might be my default. I'm going to choose a different path in order to remember who I am and find my center. And so today I'm going to share with you 5 ways that I've been using lately to find my center when I'm spinning out. And guess what? I am not going to tell you to journal, and I am not going to tell you to meditate. Now, of course, those are 2 things I talk about a lot, and those are 2 tools that I can reach for when needed. But I've talked a lot about both of those things, and I wanted to give you a few new ideas to center yourself, because sometimes our go-tos, they don't work in every single situation, or you just need a little bit of fresh energy. And I've just been noticing that these are the things that are working for me. And so yes, please, please reach for a journal. Please start a meditation practice. I really think both of those things will greatly enhance your life. But when you are truly spinning out, if those go-tos aren't working, let's try a few new things. With sunshine, outdoor activities, and so many fun things to do outside, it is impossible not to enjoy all of these good weather days up ahead. Of course, we all know that more sun and fun means more sweating and, yes, more odor. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Lumi. Lumi is the first of its kind in the full body deodorant world and is seriously safe to use on any and every part of your body. It was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how regular body odor was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. I especially love that Lumi deodorant is baking soda and paraben free. It is also pH balanced for safe use on all areas of your body. You can choose from a variety of fresh scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code U at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi, L-U-M-E, deodorant, D-E-O-D-O-R-A-N-T, .com and use code U-Y-O-U. It's not every day that you find a product that you truly love and want to shout about from the rooftops. Well, friends, I have found something that I am genuinely excited to share with you today, and that is Born Shoes. Born Shoes are made with the best top quality leather with functional stitching and flexibility. They are lightweight, but they're also supportive. They are great for all casual occasions, extremely comfortable, and especially good for travel. The brand recently gifted me a pair of the Ithaca style sandals. Of course, they are beautiful. The footbed has extra foam for added comfort and with a slight heel for lift. I am positive that I could walk all over London in this pair of shoes, just like I did in my Born sandals last summer. Born Shoes offers sandals, flats, boots, and heels in several styles and color choices. Take comfort in Born Shoes. Every season, they make high-quality shoes that feel as good as they look. With artistic touches, unparalleled craftsmanship, and exquisite materials, Born designs shoes to satisfy the demands of every lifestyle. Go to bornshoes.com for a 15% discount plus free ground shipping on all full-price shoes when you use my promo code TELL. That's Born, B-O-R-N, shoes, S-H-O-E-S.com, and use promo code TELL, T-E-L-L, for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for a limited time. Number 1, get clean. Okay. stay with me because I think that we are all clean people. I am not making a commentary on your hygiene or mine. But there is something healing about water. Almost always. You know that little saying when you have little kids, I don't know if you saw this meme that was like, when in doubt or like when in meltdown, find some water. Either a pool, a bath, an ocean, a sprinkler, or just hydrate yourself. Find some water. I remember that message really resonating with me that water in all its forms cures so many things. But specifically, what I'm talking about with this one, get clean, is getting just absolutely squeaky clean. Now, I do not know what your bathing rituals look like on the regular, but for me, you know, I shower every day, but I don't wash my hair every day. I shave my legs sometimes, and sometimes that's more thorough than others. I just sometimes give a quick little whoop, whoop, whoop on my calves and call it good. Sometimes I exfoliate my body. Sometimes I don't. I skip, you know, the lotion step when I get out of the shower. There are so many ways that we can care for our bodies. And at least for me, these are often haphazard and never all at the same time. Like I don't have time to do like a 2-hour bathing of all the things and all the ways that we can do that. But when I am spinning out, this is actually exactly what I need. I want to take a shower where I do all the things. I exfoliate my body. I exfoliate my face. Those are different products, by the way. I not only wash my hair, but I do a hair mask. I take my time shaving and plucking and attending to all the things that come out of the pores in our body. I use lotions and potions and serums. I floss extra carefully. I use cuticle oil and eye cream and all the things that I have for occasional use. I just throw it all together like the ultimate premier car wash, but for my body. This takes time, it takes intention, and it is like direct self-care in a way that definitely lowers whatever anger I'm feeling, whatever thing that I'm spinning out about. It just can't fully survive when you are treating yourself with such luxury. And there are a few things that are happening when you do this, when you get really, really clean. There is the obvious water part that I talked about. Like, I do feel like there's kind of some healing in water. There's also that thing that is like science that we know you get your best ideas. You have, you know, your best comebacks or sometimes your clearest thoughts or your light bulb moments when you're standing in the shower. There's reasons behind that about maybe quieting the mind or the rhythm of the water. You know, it's not rocket science, but it is real. We've all experienced that kind of epiphany in the shower. So you're setting yourself up for this water healing, both symbolic and metaphorical or spiritual. And then you're also just forced to have some intention around caring for your body. And I do think that this translates to something in our brain. It does something to our worthiness. It does something to our heart to, you know, be like truly massaging lotion onto our freshly shaved legs. That feels good. That's like something primitive that like harkens back to being a baby. There is an intention and a beauty to caring for ourselves in this way. It also takes a long time. So it serves maybe as like a healthy distraction because you are getting some time distance between whatever happened and whatever you're spinning out about and getting to the end of this bathing ritual. It can also give us a shot of confidence to feel squeaky clean and polished and beautiful. And, you know, that is also a part of this, because if what is spinning you out is making you feel bad about yourself or is making you question yourself, what you are doing in a get clean sort of ritual is giving yourself back some self-confidence and self-love. So that's number one, get clean. Number two is get quiet. So see, I kind of tricked you there because this isn't actual meditation, but actual science has meditative qualities. And so what I mean by get quiet is very literal. One of the things I've talked about several times here on the show that I feel like almost needs to be shouted from the rooftops, and I see that that is kind of a mixed message, but the power of silence should not be underestimated. We live in a culture where we like a lot of noise, or I don't even know if we like it, but we are used to a lot of noise. We have a podcast or an audiobook in our ears. We have the TV droning on. We scroll through receiving information and facts and opinions and jokes and all the things that we are taking in a 30-second span of scrolling through our social media feeds that is sending our emotions all over the place all the time. And we've become very used to it. We listen to the news and pretend that we're getting informed. We listen to a story and call it simply entertainment through our earbuds, through the TV. We talk and talk and talk without ceasing. I'm a verbal processor, and so I get why we do this. We think that it is going to help us figure things out the more we talk it through. And it does. That actually does work. There's a reason and a reward behind why we do this. But we are so used to so much noise. Even, you know, quote unquote, healthy or productive noise like music that we think, well, what could be the harm in music? Music makes me work better, makes the time go by faster. All these different ways that we justify not having silence. And I don't want to like be a monk. I'm not trying to be silent all the time. But there should be times of the day where you are actually in silence. And when you are spinning out, you need extra silence. And this really can feel counterintuitive because when you are trying to escape your feelings or when you are trying to get out of the looping thoughts in your head, you reach for something distracting. You put on your favorite podcast or music or news show or anything to take your mind off of your feelings and your repetitive thoughts. I get it. It's such an amazing time to be alive that we have these things at our fingertips. But what we are missing is our own inner voice or our own lack of chatter, our own self-doubt, all of the things that we're trying to escape from. Or even if it's not about our own stuff, if we're trying to escape from something that legit happened that is spinning us out, so we don't want to think about what someone else said. We don't want to think about this situation because it's hard. So it's not necessarily something we did, but we are trying to escape from these things. And noise is the best way to drown out those feelings. But the sacrifice then, the cost then, is without silence, we cannot come to conclusions. We cannot see the next path forward as clearly. We cannot hear our inner voice. We cannot hear a voice from above. We cannot find a place of stillness when we are living in the equivalent of like a nightclub. And I'm not even joking. That is what our days can feel like. That level of stimulation. If you live in a house with a lot of people, if you constantly have something on, if you scroll a lot, and by the way, I do all of those things. I have a lot of people in my house. I'm constantly scrolling. I love listening to stuff. It is hard for me. I have to make an effort to be silent, and I do my 5 minutes of silence every morning. 5 minutes of silence is not enough when you are spinning out. This is actually one of the things that I like about number one, Get Clean, is that unless you've made a real effort to put a Bluetooth speaker in your shower, and I know some of us have, that also forces a little bit of silence. And when I am really spinning out, I do a lot of silence, or as much as I am able in a house full of people and pets, but I will drive in silence. I will, take a walk outside without any crutch of something to listen to. It's always hard the first 5 to 10 minutes. Always. Like my brain starts spinning. I start questioning myself. I get bored. Like it's boring to be silent. But after the first several minutes, and sometimes it can take up to 10 or more minutes, but after that first little stretch of time, your mind and body, it does still. There is an element of peacefulness in quiet that cannot be attained any other way. And when we are looking for our center, this is the direction we want to be going. We want stillness. We want pockets of peace. We want to remember who we are. We want to have a light bulb moment that is clarifying about what to say or how to think about this. That is why we have to get quiet. As painful as it can be, as annoying as it can be, sometimes it's actually really hard to find quiet in your daily life. You have to seek it out a little bit more. Some do more than others. That's number two, get quiet. Number three is do something that makes you feel like you. We've talked about this concept before, and this is a prime example of knowing these things, writing them down, being able to reach for them when you are in a healthy place, because when you are in a bad place, a spun out place, it's really hard to remember what makes us feel like us. Like I can be like, wait, what was I supposed to do? What makes me feel like me? I forgot. And sometimes we conveniently forget. So here's an example. When you are cooking, let's say, or baking, doing something creative in the kitchen, and you notice, I really feel alive in here. I like making up my own recipes. I like creating a dish that's going to taste exactly how I want it to taste. I like feeding my family. There is something about this that is really soothing to me. That is something that we might notice when we're in a healthy spot. And then when we're in a bad spot, we're spinning out, we reach for takeout. We DoorDash it up. We are the quickest to go get pizza. Now, sometimes that's what it's called for. You don't have the energy or the capacity to make a lovingly created meal. But if you have identified in the past, you know what though? Actually, cooking makes me feel like myself. It makes me feel creative and nurturing. It is fun for me. I noticed in the good times that this was something good. So I'm not going to just autopilot reach for the easiest, most convenient answer when I know that there might be something that's going to make me feel better. Meals are a little bit of a tricky example because, I'm not trying to ever heap more onto your plate. Well, pun intended. I'm not trying to give you more to do when you're spinning out. How about we take this example? If you noticed at some point that you really love coloring, doing something creative, painting, something artsy and with your hands, and you really love it. You took a class with a friend, you spent one, you know, random Saturday when it was rainy creating a little project, and you noticed, oh, I really love this. Then in times when you are spinning out, reaching for markers and crayons and some blank paper might feel better than a Netflix binge. Netflix binges, this is a knock on Netflix, any kind of TV binges are easy and available to us and sure are distracting and make the evening fly by so we don't have to feel our feelings or think our thoughts. But they rarely really remind us who we are. They're great entertainment. Entertainment can remind us who we are, but it's very passive. When there is an active thing that can center you, which is what we are trying to get to, is to this feeling of being centered. I say art project or cooking, sometimes those can just be too heavy of a lift. If you're really spinning out, that's like too many to-dos. Make it easy on yourself. Have a dish or two that you like to cook that gives you that alive feeling, but isn't too hard and doesn't require like specialty ingredients or something. And then same, like if you love doing art, but you're going to get the same kind of centering effects by just coloring or doodling. You don't need to like drag out every piece of like art material that you have and make a big mess and dig through a bunch of drawers. Like, make it simple on yourself. What you're doing here is reminding yourself, you know what I love to do is art. And so the lowest level of art right now is just a couple of markers and a piece of paper. You know what I like to do is cooking. The lowest level here is what I already have in my pantry, and maybe I make this dish all the time, but it makes me feel like I'm doing something productive instead of simply continuing to spin. So number three is do something that makes you feel like you. For me, I have a few things. You won't be surprised to know that one of them is reading. Now, reading can be like the same category as a Netflix binge, right? Like it's passively consuming entertainment and like sort of lets you be distracted and not always necessarily in a healthy way. That's totally true. So this requires a little bit of discernment. But for me, when I am on my couch with my dogs reading a good story, there is something about that for me that reminds me of who I am, what kind of person I want to be, and can get me out of a spin cycle or at least a few steps forward in this identity piece of remembering who we are and finding a center. So reading is the one thing. Being with my dogs, which I just mentioned, there is something about that that is very centering for me, to like just be with them, scratch on them. You know, if you have a dog where you have a special relationship, you know what I mean. It's very hard to articulate why that's a completely different energy than spending time with a loved one or a friend, which also can help you remember who you are. But a pet, an animal, it's just a different thing. There is no back and forth. You don't have to be polite or ask good questions or listen attentively to an animal. You get to sort of be really present with another living being, but it requires less of you, and you're receiving back from them this unconditional like love and affection that really doesn't exist in almost any other living relationships. And so that is centering to me. That is something that reminds me who I am, what this world is, what this life is I have created. That comes for me with being with my dogs. So No matter what your thing is, cooking, art, pets, reading, taking some time to do something that makes you feel like you also brings this clarity that you're craving when you're spinning out.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Number four of how to center yourself when you're spinning out. Number four is to reach for a few mantras. Again, this is an example of finding something that you think might work for you, not in the moment of crisis, but in advance. So they can be mantras or affirmations that reminds you of who you want to be. They can also be sort of like you're setting some boundaries for yourself that will like curb your words or your behavior or your actions, because there is an element when you're spinning out where maybe you don't trust yourself. Like maybe you're going to say something you regret. Maybe you're going to take an action. You know, you're going to text someone or call someone or, you know, pop off or do something that you're just not going to be that proud of in a few hours, that is not how you want to have handled the situation. And so if that seems to be what is approaching for you, reaching for a few mantras, that's number four, reaching for a few mantras that you've already set for yourself can be very centering. So let me give you a few examples of what I mean. One of the situations that I mentioned earlier that has spun me out not too long ago was something that happened at school, my kid's school. So, you know, the circumstance involved like kids and like a situation. And one of the sort of things that I reached for in this moment, like a boundary that I set for myself, even though I was quite upset about what was going on, was I will not comment on the actions of other kids. I am only responsible for my family. I'm only responsible for my reactions. And so I had to sort of put up for myself because I was upset and, you know, wanted to overanalyze the situation. And it would have been easy to, you know, blame another kid or get mad at the way another family was handling it, or I don't know, anything like that. It was imperative in my spin out to give myself some affirmations, rules, like where I reached for something that I wanted to be true about my identity. This is in the same vein of why we write affirmations, is we are affirming to ourselves who we are. Sometimes you have to create that, right? So what I wanted to be true about me, about my highest self, was that I was not going to comment on the actions of any other kiddo. So this was something that I had learned, you know, in a different situation. Who even knows when? I've been a parent for 15 years now. At some point, I realized that when these type of things crop up as they do around school events or circumstances. Maybe in the past, at some point, I had said something about another kid that I actually really regretted saying. There was just no place for me to say that. It didn't make me feel good to say it. It was my own defense mechanism. It just wasn't who I wanted to be. I was like a human. And so when this new situation, when this more recent situation popped up, I remembered that and said to myself or, you know, my husband Jeff or whoever, and said, okay, we are dealing with this, or this thing has happened. I will not comment on the actions of any other kid. And I just had to repeat myself to myself, because it's easy to just vent or whine or complain or parse or gossip. It's easy to sort of go there when you are spinning out. And so I had to immediately reach for some things about the person that I want to be, and that the person that was going to wake up tomorrow needed to be proud of the me of today. And so I was going to have to put some things in place. And that was one of them. Now, it doesn't always have to be as specific as that, although that was enormously helpful to me in that moment. But it could also be a reminder, like an affirmation, that I am a good person. I am a truthful person. I would never harm anyone. Like just some very basic affirmations like that, reaching for those affirmations that maybe you've made before that you need to remind yourself in the middle of a spin out, or you might be feeling defensive, or you might be trying to make your case, or you might be really upset that someone chose differently than you did, that you need to remember who you are. And sometimes that comes in really basic statements like, I am a good person, or I am a good decision maker, or I tell the truth, or I am doing the best I can. So I am reaching for those affirmations, those rules. There are work-related affirmations and mantras. There are relationship-related affirmations and mantras that can really keep you from continuing to go down the spiral and letting what someone else said define who you are, not only in this situation, but in the bigger picture. So if you get a bad peer review or, you know, boss evaluation, or in my case, I get like a bad comment or review about my books or this podcast or something, it can tap into my insecurities, or it can make me feel bad about myself. Or I can also remember an affirmation of, I am good at my job. I am good at my job. That little space of repeating that to myself, that little space that it gives me then lets me hear if there is malice in the comment or evaluation, or if there is some piece of it that maybe I, you know, can take as constructive criticism. Like maybe I need to see if they have a point there, or if I am unable to do that, sort of release it in total, but not let it take me down completely, because I have created some affirmations, some self-talk, some mantras that reminds me of who I am, that I am worthy, that I am good, that I am doing my best, and most likely so are they. And even if they're not, I am. And even if I'm not, saying it out loud helps me be better. It's talking myself again back into who I want to be and who I am at my core. So who we are at our core isn't always reflected in our every single action. We have bad moments. We say things we don't mean. Like, we make mistakes. All of us do. And so what is then key is the reroute. Fix it if it needs to be fixed, and come back to ourselves and remind ourselves of who we are and why that's not going to happen again, and how we are going to handle this in a better way than we did last time, or how we're going to handle it better next time. These are all things that are available to us, but only if we have put them in place to reach for in advance. Because I will tell you, when I'm in the middle of spinning out, I can't create the mantra then. I can't pull out my affirmation journal to an open blank page at that moment. I have to go back and look at what I've written before to remember when I'm spiraling who I am, who I was yesterday, who I was last year, and that one little circumstance, mistake, event does not define me always. Find whatever your mantras or affirmations are for yourself, whatever that looks like. And I'm going to link to a couple of episodes that I've done about different mantras and affirmations so that you can find a few. I think everybody needs, you know, 3 to 5 that they can reach for at all times, but especially when they are spinning out and need to become centered, that will help them remember who they are. And remembering who we are is getting centered. Now, it might not be instant, but it helps take us there. We are trying to find our most stable place. We are trying to make sure that we are touching that core part of us. We can get so outside of our core sometimes, can't we? Like, we can really get astray. We can just feel wonky. We can have a bad day, week, or month. We can make a bad choice that then leads to the next bad choice that, you know, now we're pretty far down the road of who we want to be. Sometimes we are not within touching distance of our core. And so as we are trying to get centered, that is what we are trying to do. And we're using all of these tools to get ourselves back to who we are, because who we are is good. Who we are is beautiful, and it is always worth seeking out when we have lost sight of ourselves. Number 5, the last thing we're going to talk about today in finding our center when we're spinning out is go to bed. Number 5 is go to bed. So I've talked so much on this show about the importance of sleep and how sleep or lack thereof has greatly affected my mental health. That is unchanging. Now, circumstances have changed, whether I'm, you know, young and working too much or postpartum and hormonal, or now in my 40s and aging where there's a lot of different changes. What has stayed true is that the amount of sleep that I get is not only crucial to my mental clarity, but has absolutely proved to be a healing balm to all that ails us. Sleep is magic. I think so much happens when we sleep beyond the things that we know that are like medical, biological. We literally do heal in our sleep. Sleep absolutely affects our hormones and moods and mental health and all of that. But there is also a spiritual thing about sleep that does bring us clarity. We can get ideas in our sleep, you know, solutions or maybe little, like, I don't know if you want to call them like spiritual messages. Our, you know, inner voice gets louder in our dreams, maybe, or just resting and giving yourself a 6, 7, 8 hour gap between whatever happened and you waking up. It really can solve a lot of things. Doesn't mean that then you don't have to address the situation, make an apology, receive an apology. It doesn't mean that it's over. It just means you have taken yourself out of the spin cycle. And I prove this to myself time and time again, that when I am spinning out, I need to go to bed. Like as early as humanly possible. And this can be a privilege. You know, you don't always have a situation where you can go to bed early all the time. But as early as you can go to bed, whether that's 5 p.m. or 8 p.m. or if 10 p.m. is early for you, it is so much more productive to go to sleep, which I know we don't think about sleep as productive, but it absolutely is. It is so much more productive to go to sleep and sleep on a problem or an insecurity or something that happened, anger. It is so much more productive to go to sleep, let your body rest, give yourself some gap of time, than it is to doomsday scroll, Google a million jillion things in the middle of the night, formulate the perfect comeback to whoever it is that you're spinning out about, staying on the phone with a friend or a loved one for hours, just rehashing and venting and just swimming in the pool of your own worked-upness. Those things can feel good and productive and sometimes bonding. You can feel like you're researching. You can feel like you're, you know, getting on the same page. You can feel like you're, you know, burning through the stress cycle and getting it all out. Like, sometimes we talk ourselves into those things, and those are not invalid. That can be true. But I feel like for me, 9 out of 10 times, the best way to stop any cycle, whether it's the spin cycle, which is what we're talking about today, or, you know, anything where I feel like my emotions or situation is on a runaway train, 9 out of 10 times, maybe even more than that, I just need to go to bed. And my husband will call it out on me. Like, he will say, you just need to go to bed. Occasionally, there is a situation that needs to be handled truly immediately. You really do need to make a phone call. You really do need to send an email. You really do need to nip something in the bud or offer a quick apology or, you know, have a direct conversation or something like that. A lot of times, maybe that is the solution. But if it's not, or if after you handle the things that absolutely must be handled, what comes next should be sleep. It becomes nearly impossible to make good decisions, to forge strong connections with others, to have a good creative output, any of these things, to handle any of our business. It is almost impossible to do it if you are sleep deprived, especially if you're chronically sleep deprived. But even one night of spinning out, which that's the push and pull of this, right, is that sometimes when you're spinning out, it becomes impossible to sleep. You just can't settle. And I get that. I also am not afraid to reach for my magnesium or melatonin in order to aid the rest I need to get in order to be my best self. I will preach this from the highest mountain about sleep. And that is number 5 on how to center yourself when you're spinning out. Go to bed. I hope that you are listening to this episode in your healthiest, most valued place. I hope that you are taking my advice as you listen to this, and you are going to make notes on what makes you feel like you, so you don't have to make that decision in a hard moment. You are going to jot down a few mantras and affirmations. So again, they will already be a go-to. But if you are listening to this in the midst of a spin out, large or small, I hope that this has been helpful for you for learning how to center yourself when things feel out of control, when you cannot get a handle on your repetitive looping thoughts, when someone has said something that tapped into your fears, your insecurities, your unworthiness, and it has ruined your day. I hope that this, you know, instruction manual and pep talk has helped you. And if it has, I would love it if you would share this episode with a friend, share it on social media, bookmark it for yourself to come back to. I really appreciate you listening to 10 Things to Tell You. These were the things I had to tell you today. I hope that you have at least 10 things to tell in your life that will make you less lonely and that will remind you of who you are, because that's what this show is all about. Thanks for listening, friends. Now go share something.